Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey. I'm Santia. I'm here with Ruth Ann. Hi, Ruth Ann.
Hi, Santia. Nice to see you today.
Good to see you too. And I love what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about how to be a partner with our vision, or how to be a co-creator with our vision, and inviting that process in our life. And especially when we want to change something in our life or are working through changes, how do we know what that will look like? You're going to walk us through that.
Right. And I think it's interesting, if I can give something away, is that you've had, since we're talking about vision, you've had a little thing in your eye all morning, and it's been disturbing you and distracting you. And I think sometimes that's what happens, is we have something that we want, but we get distracted because something's going on that's
very
not
apropos.
Yeah, that is that's just irritating or takes our mind away from what we could be doing if that wasn't there. So
that's a very good example.
But often what happens when we think about something that would be really wonderful to have in our lives, whether it's in our business or personal life or whatever, our natural tendency as Americans is to just get right to it and work really hard and pull out all the stops.
And to drive and to accomplish certain things or
absolutely
to acquire.
Yeah, or make the phone calls and do everything that we can do. And there are times when that's completely appropriate. And how do we know when that's completely appropriate? If we're getting movement, if we're moving toward what we want, then the feeling that we get about the whole process is a positive one and a relaxed one, and things are unfolding, and the results are ones that not only are good in our lives, but they feel good in our bodies.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we were talking about the yum and yuck.
Right.
That when you're either working towards something or have a vision about something, or maybe it's even a job, that you have an opportunity for a job, and the feeling is yum, then that's a real good signal that, okay, that may be the good thing. If it's a yuck feeling, it's then checking that out. Why is it yuck?
Well, and that whole yum and yuck idea, I think you you came home from your Deepak Chopra
meditation
training, right, with that language. But it's very much supported by the work of the psychologist Martin Seligman in his book Learned Optimism. He analyzed the way that successful athletes, musicians, business people, politicians, the language that they use and about themselves and about the situation that they're working on. And in particular, he used politicians who have to have such a sustained vision for their whatever political race they're in, that they can't do anything that's going to stand in their way or take energy away from them. And so he analyzed how they did that. And how they did that was by using their feelings. If something is feels good, then we keep doing it. And if it doesn't feel good, then we say, okay, well, what could be, if I'm doing something that doesn't feel good, I get worried or I get distracted or something by what I'm doing, then I need to go back and see what's driving that. And that all is work that he did. So that's kind of an aside, but I wanted our listeners to know that what we're talking about today has wonderful roots in very high up places in research and how people are being guided to do things.
Well, and if we're looking at it, when it feels good or bad, I guess, what if something feels good and it's actually harming others? How do we know when it is ultimately really a good thing for us to do?
I think it comes back to what our intent is. And if our vision is in reality one that is harmful in the world, of course, that wouldn't be a vision that I could support or you. But I suppose if somebody felt really good about what they were doing and life was unfolding in a way that seemed like it was the right path for them, then I guess I'd have to just let them do their thing and we could be doing as much to counter it as possible.
Yeah.
But I think that those of us, though, who pay attention to our place in the whole, you know, world order here, and want what we do to be something that is in alignment with the higher good.
And that benefits, to benefit others.
Yeah, will benefit others. Everybody will win and gain from that. So I think it all comes back to, well, what's our central belief, or what are our central beliefs for the what will be guiding what these visions even are?
So it sounds like it's looking at, it's that yum and yuck feeling and then balancing that to see and checking that to see where is that coming from? Is it
right.
coming from a selfish place or where is it? Is it an external focus or is it an internal focus?
I don't know that I think if it's from a self-serving place, mm-hmm. but for that person, it's right. I think I just have to let them do that.
That's right, because we can't control
that. But for the listeners that we have, I would think that each one is going to be asking, well, what has to happen in our lives that will be good for us and ultimately good for everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
So typically in America, though, if we're moving our world or moving our goals, if we substitute the word goal for vision, if we're moving our goal toward our goal and it's not coming together very well, or I mean, and you had told, we had talked about the story that you had about Mark Twain. So why don't you tell the listeners about that, and then I'll jump in and talk about it too.
Sure. So he had wanted, his dream was to be a riverboat captain and to probably retire that way. Mm-hmm. And with changes with the outcome of the Civil War, that whole opportunity dried up for him. So that wasn't going to be an ongoing opportunity for him. And if that hadn't happened, he may not have looked at writing mm-hmm. in the way that he did. Or maybe he would have, but it wouldn't have been the same. So mm-hmm. he, because of something not happening, he had this other opportunity that was even bigger happen.
Right.
Though it may not have felt that way at the time for him, it may
right.
have been feeling like, wow, things just aren't working the way I want them to be
right.
working.
So in his situation, it was an external drying mm-hmm. up, if you will, of the possibility of him fulfilling the dream to retire as a riverboat captain,
mm-hmm.
because he had been a riverboat captain.
Yes.
So much of his writing uses that. So he had to be at that point, you know, not knowing Mark Twain, only through his writing.
Yes, and only this was only from a documentary,
right?
film that we
but
were watching.
The opportunity, the original goal that he had, ceased to become possible,
mm-hmm.
and so he had to co-create
mm-hmm.
with what his world was basically making, you know, offering him at that point. And be attentive to what he could see ahead. And as I'm thinking about Mark Twain, he had to be very attentive to the river when
mm-hmm.
he was on it, because the history of the Mississippi River is that it had lots of sandbars and
yes, and it was difficult to navigate.
It was, and it was constantly changing. And so he must have been a master at being very attentive mm-hmm. to what was in front of him and what he had to do to respond to that so that he didn't, you know, get in trouble.
Yeah.
And I would guess that part of his personality and already honed skill was something that allowed him to see that, well, maybe the writing, and he did a lot of one-man shows too.
He did.
He was an orator and apparently very gifted and very entertaining. He did a lot of fundraising that way.
And I think that was something he happened upon too. Something that he, it sounded like that he, it was maybe going to be seen as a one-time thing, but it ended up becoming something
that
was,
people just really responded to that. And so I think he's a good example about how somebody can co-create by using their talent, by using their natural talent. And he obviously somewhere along the line learned that he had a talent for words, mm-hmm. whether written or spoken. Plus he had a talent for being attentive to what's in front of me, what do I need to watch out for, how do I adjust and make changes in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's very much what we are using the yum and yuck for.
Yes.
We're very much watching for, okay, does this feel good? Is this going to give us something that will be a positive direction to go, or is it not something that's going to be positive? And that's again in line with Seligman too, because when we're going on the side that works with us, things just tend to flow.
Yes.
And some of the things that Seligman looked at is if we're feeling frustrated, if we're feeling worried, if we just keep butting our head against something, that I think if we could use Mark Twain river metaphor, continue with that, it would just be like getting ourselves more and more stuck in the sandbar,
yeah.
which is not giving us what we want, which is movement. We want movement toward the resolution or the realization.
And I like what you're saying with navigating. I think because he did have a couple of jobs that were writing jobs that he didn't enjoy.
Okay.
So he was definitely going down a path that I think that also that navigation was figuring out what he liked and what types of people he liked working with. And,
right.
And so, yeah, it sounded like it unfolded. And also he was making adjustments.
He was along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. We mm-hmm. use this internal guidance system. He used his abilities to navigate, and we need to do the same thing. Because ultimately, when we arrive at our destination, when our vision or our goal or whatever we can imagine being possible for us opens up, It's just like magic
yes.
happening. And I can see that. I see that all the time with my clients who come in and often will have a feeling that they identify in not using the words yuck, but they don't feel good about mm-hmm. where they are. And yet they're able to extract from their lives information. Mm-hmm. About, well, what do I need and how can I translate that into what will help me get some movement here, get some traction here, get the negative energy or whatever out of my life and get the positive traction in so that we can tap into that great American spirit, which is, you know, let's go across the, you know, the plains and look for gold or whatever, fly to the moon.
That's true. So. And I liked what you also said when we were getting prepared for this session. You talked about letting go. And I think mm-hmm. that's a big part of it, too. You're doing that yum or yuck check and also seeing how things are moving forward. And then the other part that I liked that you said is let go. So you're really stepping back. And that's one thing that we learned from the meditation weekend at the Chopra Center was doing that. Mm-hmm. So it sometimes seems counterintuitive because of the... you're striving for something, but sometimes letting go and letting some things happen and letting some time pass and really reflecting, that can help mm-hmm. as well.
Well, and I think we need to remember, though, that when we have let go, that is not a time to just be sitting.
Exactly. Yes, there's a difference.
Yeah, it remains kind of, excuse me for using this word here, but it's kind of a pregnant time
mm-hmm.
where we don't have, the baby hasn't been born yet, but everything is happening
yes.
still. And so what we can do during that time is, I mean, whatever we need to do to make sure we're ready
yes.
when the big stuff is there, you know, we just turn the handle, and there it is, whether it's cleaning up or whether it's learning a language if we want to travel to Spain or Hungary or whatever.
That's, yeah.
So looking at Rob's.
He's like, yes. Well, and yeah, so letting go doesn't mean just being passive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and even supported by nature, if we think about spring being the new beginning and, you know, probably summer is the realization, the full realization mm-hmm. of the idea there in front of us, then winter is all about cleaning up, mm-hmm. letting things, you know, letting the leaves go off the tree and letting things kind of quiet down on the yep. surface. But that doesn't mean that things are any less fruitful.
That's right. Things are still happening.
Living through it. So.
Well, good.
Yes, this has been fun. I hope you as listeners are enjoying our talks. We certainly are loving being here with you.
Oh, definitely. Love being here with you and love the wisdom that you always share.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.